Welcome back to a show we're calling Rhymes with Lansing, a companion podcast project of Inspired Media, bringing you stories from where Main Street meets the Mississippi in this special mini-series being recorded live at The Works in downtown Lansing, Iowa. Start planning your trip, lansingiowa.com. I am truly excited to share a few minutes with the show with our guest today. Aaron Cubbin, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
I'm so happy to get to talk with you a little bit. Aaron, you are the naturalist for the Allamakee County Conservation and the Driftless Area Education Visitors Center, right?
Correct.
All in one shot. I got it out there. But the Driftless Area Education and Visitors Center is a place that Aaron and I love a lot. It's an amazing spot just south?
Just south.
Just south of Lansing, out along the river. Pretty hard to miss. It's a beautiful building. Sits just up off the highway.
Overlooking Village Creek.
Right?
Yes.
Village Creek boat ramp, people might know. I've come in and out of that way several times. The center itself is an amazing place to visit. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we get into the show. But Aaron, thanks for being here today. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us. But your story is fantastic. Let's start at the beginning. Why don't we tell first, what is a naturalist? What do you do?
So my job, I think I have the best job in the world. It's essentially, I get to do a lot of environmental education. I am in the classrooms. I am in libraries. I am talking to the general public. I am trying to get people excited about the environment that they live in and the places that we share with all these cool critters and plants. And it's just a lot of fun.
Allamakee County in general, we've talked a lot about. I have had a few shows in a row here. Allamakee County is an amazing place in rural northeast Iowa. There is a lot of ground to cover in this county and an enormous amount of public land, right?
There is. And I think that, you know, people don't even know how special this county, this area is. You know, we have Yellow River State Forest. We all have all of our various county parks. Half of Effigy Mounds National Monument is here in Allamakee County, which is literally a national treasure.
Truly,
it's just an incredible place that a lot of people don't know exists.
It's such a cool thing. I am also very lucky. I've spent quite a bit of time down at Yellow River in the State Forest and a couple of events that happened there. Shout out to my flyathlon gang and a few people. So a lot of neat places that I've gotten to kind of fall off the map up here. And
which is hard
really
to do
it.
In Iowa.
It is a little bit, right?
Yes.
I mean, that is one of the true, the truly amazing things about this corner of the world is it's really, really beautiful, but the natural resources are also incredibly rich. Not to mention the river's just down the street here, right? Right?
Absolutely.
And is just a whole other treasure trove of
that is one I left out, right? Upper Mississippi National Wildlife Refuge.
So right.
That is the heart of the area.
Totally incredible. And so you work for Allamakee County Conservation, and the conservation office is at the Driftless Area Education and Visitors Center. So that's kind of the tie-in to all of it. But people can also just visit the center most days and see a really cool range of things. I have to say for kids, it's a really cool place, right? A lot of things to explore.
And we have a lot of repeat visitors for kids too. It's we've got a lot of animals. We've got lots of interactive exhibits. It's free.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, people come once a week, come and check out, say hi to their favorite animals. It's just such a cool spot.
And I should say kids of all ages. I mean, the historical aspects that the center also has are really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Not only are the displays really neat, but the history of Lansing and what you all cover is just really fascinating, from commercial fishing to the button industry to Native American, you know, history, right? There's just a lot of pieces to the puzzle, right?
Absolutely. And it all ties back to the natural history story. All of those things you mentioned, the commercial fishing, the Native American, you know, people who lived here for literally thousands of years, it all ties back to the fact that this is such an incredibly resource-rich area. So the through line between all of the plants and animals and landforms and all of the people that have made their homes here over the years is because it is so resource rich.
I love that. Mm-hmm. We're going to back up just a second from all of that, because I also know, I happen to know, as we were talking earlier, you originally come from another resource-rich area in terms of environment that is not along the Mississippi River. Tell us about that.
So I actually hail from California, Northern California, little town called Half Moon Bay near San Francisco. We are famous for our pumpkins out there and our big wave surfing. So not so much big wave surfing here on the Mississippi.
Not so much. However, there are a lot of big pumpkins around. Shout out to my dad, who's one of those people who cannot help but grow giant pumpkins each fall. So
right on. Gotta love it.
He's never been out for the festival, so I think I do have to convince him to get out that way.
You should absolutely do that. It's a big deal. I mean, a lot of the locals, we would kind of lock our doors for that weekend, or else you're out selling potatoes for the local band or something like that. But it's a big deal.
So fun. Half Moon Bay. Mm-hmm. What was your path, or how did you get interested in the world that you now live in? Right.
Right on. So I knew since I was a little kid that I wanted to work outside. As a child, my parents were really big on taking us on vacations that were educational. Pile me and my brother and my sister into the back of the car, and we drove all over the West, visited all the big national parks. And I always knew that I wanted to be a park ranger. That was my goal for a really long time. Ended up spending about 9 years after college as an interpretive park ranger for the National Park Service, flat hat and all, you know, the stereotypical park ranger.
Yeah.
Did that for a really long time and absolutely loved it. But when it comes right down to it, my husband and I kind of wanted to put down roots somewhere and give a little bit more of our time and our energy to one area. Yeah.
A quick question. Mm. When one has such interests as a young adult, what does one go to college for?
That is a great question.
Not that it has to be for that, right?
Absolutely not. And I have met park rangers with all kinds of crazy diverse backgrounds. I know people who are literature majors. I know people who, who are Spanish language majors, which obviously is very helpful when you're talking to people from all over the world.
No kidding.
So all kinds of backgrounds. Personally, I studied geography and environmental studies, and I minored in anthropology. Wow. At UCLA. Go Bruins.
Nice. Completely different environment.
Completely different environment. 4 years is plenty in Los Angeles.
Understood.
But I graduated in 2010 with a degree in geography and environmental studies, and within about a week, I was at Carlsbad Caverns National Park.
Wow.
In middle of nowhere, New Mexico. So yeah. LA to middle of nowhere, New Mexico in about a week. Bit of a culture shock, but I really never looked back.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And what a unique environment. I mean, the desert is a whole other world, right?
Yes.
A whole other environment. Mm-hmm. But you went on from there. You worked in a few different parks, right?
I did. So I went, we can follow my whole kind of circuitous route as an interpreter in the National Park Service. And that's what I did, which is environmental education. That's the ranger that you see giving evening programs, campfire programs, leading guided hikes, things like that. So I went from Carlsbad Caverns to Wind Cave National Park in the Black Hills.
Awesome.
Then I went to Yellowstone National Park. I worked specifically in the Old Faithful area in the Upper Geyser Basin. One of the few people on the planet who can say their job was at one point in time predicting geysers.
Oh my goodness.
Very cool.
That's
went
awesome.
To Zion National Park and went back to some of those a couple times. So I did 3 seasons at Carlsbad, 2 at Yellowstone, a couple at Zion. And then, I actually ended up here at Effigy Mounds.
Right?
Yes.
What an amazing adventure. Mm-hmm. You have to tell me, or tell us, I guess. I mean, how did you tie into Effigy? I mean, it seems like what was the jump to there? What was there, a spark, or like just a job that you like came
you
up
know,
amongst the circle?
It's unfortunately a little less romantic than all that. As one will do in their 20s, I fell in love with another ranger. My husband also has a similar background, worked for the National Park Service. We met at Carlsbad Caverns National Park, but he is a native Iowan from the Quad Cities. And his first job ever in the National Park Service was at Effigy Mounds National Monument. So he knew the park.
Love
actually
it.
Had brought me here to visit the park several years before we got married, before we decided ever to move here. And he had accepted a job working for Clayton County Conservation
in
2015. And we knew that if we we came out here, I would likely be able to get on board as a seasonal at Effigy. So it was a really good fit.
Awesome.
For both of us.
Yeah. What a great, what a win for Eastern Iowa.
Oh my gosh. What a win for us. I feel so lucky. I still get asked, you know, people will ask me, what are you doing in Iowa? You know, it's just flat. It's all corn and soybeans. And I say, you're kind of right, but definitely not 100%. Keep going.
Coming east.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. No kidding there. What a cool story. And of course, Effigy Mounds, I think, you know, a lot of our local listeners know about Effigy Mounds.
Yeah.
We were actually going to, we're recording these shows in April, a couple weeks ago, we were headed down to Prairie and we were going to stop and hike and the weather ended up kind of being crummy. But our daughter's 11 and I love Effigy Mounds. I mean, Fish Farm Mounds, I mean, some of that history is really incredible.
Yeah.
But I think until people actually hike up on the hill and go walk around and see the mounds and actually walk on the trails and look out across the river of like where those things were built, it has an enormous amount of meaning. It's really incredible to try and just comprehend what, you know, why those were built and why they're there.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that part of the beauty of Effigy Mounds National Monument, and it is one of the most special places that I have worked and probably underappreciated, but you're absolutely right. It's got a vibe and you can put yourself in that headspace of the people who are living here, you know, thousands of years ago, building these massive, you know, monuments on the landscape. And when you realize that they are such a small percentage of what was once here. And we're lucky to have the, 200 or so mounds that are still at Effigy Mounds National Monument, but it's part of a much, much longer sacred landscape, sacred complex to the people who built them. It's it's incredible.
It's a really, really cool story. Love that. And of course, you know, working for Almaquis County Conservation, you guys manage, oh my gosh, what did I read? It was 16 parks, something like that across
Almaquis? More than that, it's, 20 some.
There you go.
Add some periodically when we acquire little boat landings or little bits and pieces here and there.
So, I mean, there are a lot of pieces to the puzzle in terms of running any county conservation organization. Almaquis has done an incredible job of you know, helping people experience the outside world, as well as helping people realize what's here at the Driftless Area Education and Visitor Center, right? Do you want to tell us about any of the other areas that you specifically serve or get out into from Almaquis County Conservation standpoint?
So I, something I never really appreciated as a native Californian is prairie landscapes. I think it takes a lot to fall in love with a grassland. And until you really get in there and look and realize, hey, these are the animal diversity, the plant diversity, the insect diversity that's here in these prairies is something that's really special to behold. You just kind of don't get it. So we have a number of kind of small prairie plots at various places throughout our parks. Colesrud Park outside of Waterville has a really great little prairie. Waterville Park itself has a really great little prairie, the farm out there. So I think getting into those spots, and my recommendation when it comes to prairies to anyone is just to go sit on the edge of it. Even take a couple steps in and just sit down and let everything happen around you. You'll start to notice insects. You'll start to notice all these sounds. You'll start to notice different flowers and plants. And it's fabulous.
Right. And
so
I think, you know, it's funny, is something I can admit is almost a little embarrassing. I was much older when I realized, and no discredit to any of my teachers or learning my local history along the way, but of realizing that, you know, Iowa was covered in prairie, a lot of parts of Iowa, not all of it, of course, not all of it up here, but a lot of Iowa was prairie back in the days of Native Americans and previous in history. And of course, the remnant prairies that are left, pieces of those here and there are really special places that, that have not been disturbed over the millennia, right?
There's not that many of those remnant prairies left. And we really don't have any that are not reconstructed within the Almaquis County Park system. There are a lot of really great organizations statewide that are doing really fabulous work to protect those remnants, to try and reconstruct areas that have been destroyed, because this was, you know, the prairie state, the tall grass prairie state. It used to be almost the entire state, even a lot of the areas that we have that are heavily wooded now used to be prairie. And that's all due to fire. We could spend hours talking about prescribed burns and how the native people use fire on the landscape.
Not to jump organizations, but I was just reading a fabulous article that Clayton County put out on prescribed burns.
And that would be my husband, Kenny Slocum.
I was wondering about that.
Yes.
A really good read. In fact, I didn't even get all the way through it because I saved it to read more of it later. So
glad to hear
Good time of year to be talking about that. But we are talking with Aaron Cubbin, naturalist from the Alamakee County.
I tend to get upstaged by my husband.
No, it does happen. We won't do it. I really appreciate you being here. We're going to take a really quick turnaround here in the show. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Driftless Area Education Visitor Center. Also, what it means to be a naturalist, what you get to do in your day-to-day job. I got all sorts of questions for you. So thanks for being here. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Rhymes with Lansing is being made possible by the generous support of the Elmaquie Clayton Electric Cooperative and Dairyland Power. For more information on Elmaquie Clayton Electric Cooperative, visit acrec.com. To find out more about Lansing, Iowa, where Main Street meets the Mississippi, visit lansingiowa.com. Rhymes with is a companion project of Inspired Media. Find us online at iloveinspired.com.
And if you're joining us, you might notice this is a mini series of shows we're doing called Rhymes with Lansing. A pleasure to be here in downtown Lansing at Lansing Office Works, also known as The Works in downtown Lansing. Co-working space, office space by the day, by the week, by the month. Come hang out, spend some time here, do a little work, play a little bit, get on the river, have some fun. Come hang out, lansingiowa.com. Check it all out. A lot of good stuff happening down here throughout the year, any season, any time. A lot of fun months to spend down here. Aaron Cubbin, Alamakee County Conservation Naturalist, thanks for being here.
Happy to be here. Happy to be with you.
It's really fun to talk with you. Let's get into something super fun right away. At the Driftless Area Education and Visitor Center, I happen to know that you often have a bit of a rotating cast of characters in the form of animals. Tell us about what we might find at the center on any given day or week.
Sure. So this is, I fully believe, the true draw of the Driftless Center there. The kids want to see the animals. They want to see live animals. And who can blame them? They are really, really fun. So we have a variety of snakes. We have frogs. We have salamanders. We have all kinds of really cool critters. We have a new aquarium downstairs that is 1,250 gallons of Mississippi River fish.
And if people can't envision that, it's a very big aquarium.
It's big. Yes.
It's really cool. Yeah.
So we can't obviously get the fish out for people to handle, but every once in a while, if it's a slow day or if we're doing a particular program, we possibly can get out a snake or a salamander or a frog or something like that so that we can have kind of a hands-on experience for the young ones with the animals. And that's one of my favorite things to do. Like I said, we have a lot of snakes, and I think it's kind of my personal mission, and I know a lot of the other staff at the Driftless Center feels this way, but our personal mission to get people more comfortable with our reptilian friends, snakes in particular.
Did you tell me that you have some special infant creatures right now?
I may have mentioned that.
It's April currently of 2024, but I mean, they'll grow quickly as young things do, but...
They do. So if you have been here or visited the center since October, we have had the addition of some little baby timber rattlesnakes. Yes.
Amazing. So, cute little cuddly things.
They are adorable. I have to admit that I have to hold back sometimes because you do want to pick them up and hold them and handle them, but they do have that full complement of venom. So that would be a very bad idea.
Oh my goodness.
But they're little guys. They were born, and timber rattlesnakes do give live birth. So our office manager showed up one October morning, went to go check on one of our adult rattlesnakes, make sure it had water, you know, turning on the lights, everything like that. Noticed that something was happening in the rattlesnake container.
Oh my goodness.
There was blood. There were things moving around, and she figured out, hey, this rattlesnake is having babies right in front of me.
That's incredible.
It was the most exciting day I've had at work, I think, in my entire life. How many times can you say that you witness the miracle of birth with a rattlesnake?
Seriously.
It was super special. Yeah.
There are so many questions I'm not going to ask.
We'll save that for off air.
Seriously. What I will say is that occasionally you guys take in critters that have been found or are in a not ideal situation or just need a home or need some rehab, you know, whatever the situation is. A friend, I think I will say, maybe in common of ours or someone you know of, my good friend, Hallie Evans, once called me, I don't know, a couple years ago and said, you'll never believe this. I trapped a rattlesnake under a garbage can in my front yard. And now, granted, they live out in the country of rural Alameda County. I think my first question was, what the heck are you doing and why? But happened to be outside and the snake was in the yard and the garbage can was handy and one thing led to another. Now, what do you do when you get a rattlesnake under a garbage can? That's the next question, right?
Yeah.
And what, does this a feature? This is something that happens in your life frequently?
This does happen regularly to us. Certain times of the year, early spring, you know, kind of late in the fall, it'll tend to happen. We'll get a call. Someone will have a rattlesnake on their property. And we appreciate when people give it a little time. So hopefully, you know, that snake will move on. But sometimes we get these calls where it's like, hey, this rattlesnake has been on my patio for about 2 weeks, seems to not be going anywhere. And then we'll usually come in and help you move it. And that's the case of what we did in that particular case with the rattlesnake under the trash can.
Yes.
I believe we actually brought that snake back to the Driftless Center and it was on display with us for a couple of months before we set it free.
Right.
So it could go live its life.
Go back into the hills and live its happy snake life up in the rocks.
We want to help the snakes. We want to get them out there.
oh my goodness. That is amazing. And of course, you know, all of this is part of environmental education, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a huge part of your job as a naturalist with Alameda County Conservation. Mm-hmm. You know, and what does that mean to you? Like, so there are probably a couple of different pieces of it, right? Like it's one thing to think about kids who of course love getting to interact in those ways. Tell us a little bit about that. Like what kind of programs do you do for young people? But then there's, you know, programs for adults too. Tell us
totally,
about that.
Totally. Yeah. So I spend a lot of time in the classrooms, usually with the younger kids, talking about really anything and everything that they can encounter in the natural world up here. I have done programs on snakes, on amphibians, on birds, on seasons, on winter adaptations. I'm even talking about the moon with a group of kids next week. So it's kind of anything and everything. And it's so much fun to see their faces light up and to see those kind of connections being made in their little brains. You know, when it starts to dawn on them that all these things that we're talking about, you know, they're all actually connected in different ways. And you take any little part out of this and another part ceases to function. So
yeah, right?
As I spend more time with them, and I love working with little kids, not something that I ever really sought out to do in my career, but I've found that I really enjoyed it because you do see them making those connections.
Right.
When you're talking about water quality and then several months later, you're talking about amphibians and they're able to make that connection that, oh, this one thing that we talked about is actually really important in this other realm. So we're building a foundation with them. And one of the things I also think that's really cool about working with kids in this area is a lot of them really already have kind of a base knowledge. These kids are introduced to the outside world, whether it's through hunting, hiking, birding, mushroom hunting, whatever it is. These kids know what it's like to be outside, which is that's wonderful.
Awesome.
Yes.
Something we've talked about in some of the other shows we're doing here is just that, you know, I think the whole idea of what I'll call a rural lifestyle or living in a small town, right? Mm. I think for a lot of years, maybe people of my generation and others like in rural Iowa, the goal was not necessarily to stay around for a lot of us. And so we left, but what we found was that we kind of missed it and or the opportunities that exist living here actually outweigh some of the other opportunities opportunities that are out in the world. And not that you shouldn't go get those, but that, man, there's some pretty cool ways to live in the rural Midwest.
I mean, hey, that's my husband. Right? Came back.
Right?
Wanted to give back to this area.
We do love those stories. But of course, as a young person growing up here, and I've mentioned I had grandpas that both fished, my dad and my grandpa would bring us down on the river and mess around and go find cool spots and all sorts of stuff. But like, it is, as a young person, very impactful. Mm-hmm. But you don't always connect the dots that you're talking about, right? You're out there, you're doing it, but maybe you haven't fully put A to B of why things matter or how that happens. So that's incredible work.
Right? I mean, and
very,
that's
very rewarding work, right?
That's wonderful and rewarding. I also love all the stuff that we do with adults. We do some recreation activities. We've done kayaking over the summer, and I think we're going to be doing some more of those this summer. I do a spring ephemeral hike that once the weather decides what it's going to do, that'll be kind of a quick turnaround on that one. But you know, we try and keep our offerings varied so that we've got a little bit of something for everyone. I'm even up in the, at the Northgate Care Center once a month talking to the,
awesome.
The seniors up there. So it really just runs the gamut.
Man, I bet you get to hear some amazing stories from those
folks.
It's
so cool. It's one of my favorite things. They so appreciate having you there.
One of the coolest features that Erin came up with for our magazine for Inspired was the back page interview, which she calls the probituary, which people cringe at a little bit. But the whole point is that when she worked in newspapers, she often ended up working on obituaries. Mm. And as she had to work on them or write them or edit them or put them in place or whatever, she realized how many cool stories there were about basically anybody. If you live 70, 80, 100 years, you have amazing stories to tell, whether you think they are or not. And so, you know, she really realized that we need to be telling these stories while people are still alive. Mm-hmm. Now in rural Northeast Iowa, it's kind of a funny thing because a lot of older people of the generations that are still around really do not enjoy like talking about themselves, right? That's kind of a thing that sometimes isn't something they really do or learn to do growing up. But the cool part is that they have so many amazing stories. And I can only imagine folks who have been around this area for that long or that you interact with, there have to be just great stories about this area. You know?
It's so much fun. All the activities they used to do as kids. Since we're talking about wildlife a lot, I get to hear, we didn't used to see deer or turkeys at all. And then we can talk about introduction and different wildlife management practices because they've seen it all. There's been a lot of change in this state in the last, 50 years.
No kidding. I was having a conversation yesterday with somebody here in Lansing, just talking about eagles, right?
Yeah.
And how prevalent they are now, but that was so not the case even a few years ago, not that many years ago, right?
Yeah, we almost lost them. Absolutely. And when we have field trips that come to the center, I always ask kids, raise a hand if you have seen a bald eagle in the last week. Every hand goes up. Keep it raised if you've seen one in the last day. Most of the time the hand stays up.
That's awesome.
The fact that would have been unthinkable in the 1970s.
Right.
And to these kids, it's just part of their everyday experience. How lucky are they?
Yeah, that is super cool. And what a neat part of your job to interact, with all the different user groups at different times and just see those different things. It has to be a really fun thing to interact with the public in that way, in a very positive way. Something else I wanted to ask you about, just in the general, and you've mentioned it a little bit, but this area is so rich. We have so many different ecosystems, and particularly like when I look at Lansing in general, I love the line where Main Street meets the Mississippi, right? I mean, that says so much, but literally in Lansing, you can walk two blocks from where we're sitting and be looking at the banks of the Mississippi and watching migratory waterfowl. You can walk up the hill, maybe a little more than two blocks vertically, but like you can walk right up the hill on the top of Mount Hosmer.
You're 400 vertical feet,
right?
Something like that. Yeah.
A completely different environment.
Yes.
Right? Ecologically.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes almost in any direction. And do you have thoughts on that or like just the different like microsystems? I mean, the things you can see and find here, right?
That's, you've keyed in on something that I talk about all the time. The reason that we have such a diversity of plant life and wildlife in this area is because of the diversity of ecosystems and habitats. We have, oak savannas, we have woodlands, we have wetlands, we have goat prairies, we have other types of prairies, and there's many different types of prairies. We have cold water trout streams and the big river and the medium sized river, and the list goes on and on and on. And that's what makes this place so unique, is that really intricate patchwork of habitat. And that's what we need to protect or it'll go away.
Yeah, yes. No kidding. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. It is really cool. I mean, rural Almaquy County, any part of Almaquy County, you can really fall off into some just incredible places. Mm-hmm. And I always laugh about it. So you were talking about being from California. I spent 6 years in Petaluma in the North Bay, mm-hmm. Not too far from Mount Tam.
Yep.
I love to get out on trails. I love to ride mountain bike. I do all sorts of stuff. But it was always funny to me, you know, because you'd have to get in the car, drive half an hour in traffic, maybe an hour, get there, park, hike on a trail, see a bunch of people, mm-hmm. do their stuff, like whatever. And it was great. Loved it. Iconic places, right? You can drive out 10 minutes in Almaquy County in any direction, hit a park. Chances are on a weekday, not see anyone else.
Even on a weekend
depending,
half the time.
Right, yeah. Depending on the area, depending on the time of year. And that to me is an incredibly rich experience and something I love about living in this area.
Hands down, my favorite thing. I tell that to people all the time. It's right outside your door. You're not fighting with everybody to experience it. You can get that solitude. You can really be by yourself with nature if you want to be. Yeah. And it's, you don't have to work for it.
Right.
We're spoiled rotten up here.
We are spoiled. I love it. We are talking with Aaron Coven, naturalist for the Almaquy County Conservation and also at the Driftless Area Education and Visitors Center. An amazing spot. AlmaquyCountyConservation.org is the site people can find. If they're in Lansing or coming down the river, coming up the river, the Visitor Center is really hard to miss. It's a beautiful stone and timber building just south of Lansing, right on the bend in the river. It's a great place to stop and check things out. Like you said, it's free. You can wander in. Everybody who works there is super nice. Ross Gertis Wright is there, now the director. Mm-hmm. I've known Ross for years. You guys have been amazing to us in terms of always having Inspired available there. And people pick up magazines, people pick up stuff, find out information about the area. It's really an amazing place and really an incredible staff. So thanks to everybody who's there and does it. Okay, the way we usually get out of this show is by me asking if you, Aaron, have a day off, which I don't know how often that happens for you, but let's say you have a magical day off, right? What does a great day off look like for you and or your husband, right? Yeah. What does it look like?
So a great day off for us, for me in particular, I like to go into the woods. I want to look at different trees. I want to look at all the different plants that are blooming, especially this time of year. Spring ephemeral season is coming up. So we get all these wildflowers that are open just for the briefest amount of time. So let's say hypothetically that this perfect day off is in early spring. I'm going to Yellow River State Forest. I am looking for spring ephemerals. And if I am very lucky, I'm hoping to find some morel mushrooms to forage.
You're on the right day.
Yes, yes. If only every day was early spring in Northeast Iowa.
Oh my gosh, I love it. What a great visual, right? Just go get lost in the woods. Have some fun.
Getting lost in the woods. That's the best way to sum it up.
Yep. Oh, that's so fun. Aaron Coven, thanks for taking time out of your day to be here and talk with
us. Thank you so much.
We're lucky to have you and all the staff out at the Driftless Area Education
Visitor
Center.
Come visit and say
hi. Thanks for being here and hope people come say hi. Come see you soon. They'll see some baby rattlesnakes.
Right on. They're really cute. I promise.
Thanks for being here, Aaron. Take care. Rhymes with Lansing. It's a companion podcast project of Inspired Media. We're bringing you stories from where Main Street meets the Mississippi in this special mini-series of shows being recorded live at The Works in downtown Lansing. Start planning your trip, LansingIowa.com. This series of shows also being made possible by the generous support of Almaquy Clayton Electric Cooperative and Dairyland Power. For more information, visit acrec.com. Big thanks to them. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.